state active duty, so I'm in Oklahoma City now.
All right, so what are you doing there? What sort of capacity are you serving with the National Guard?
Right, so the Oklahoma National Guard, at the request of the governor, activated what they call their Joint Task Force. And so we've stood up. It's basically a planning and operations cell to be a part of the larger Oklahoma response and emergency operations cell for the coronavirus.
Specifically, what are you doing?
Okay, so I am the public information officer. So the Joint Task Force has representatives there from logistics, medical, operations, personnel, finance. And so we're joining in the effort to plan Oklahoma's response, and I'm planning at least the National Guard's public information response. Every state agency has their own public information officer, and so we're trying to coordinate the effort to get out information.
Why did Governor Stitt activate the Joint Task Force? Is it because he sees something coming on the horizon that we need to get ready for?
So Oklahoma is a little behind, and I should say this. People need to take this very, very seriously. So the cases now in Oklahoma, we've got 44 reported cases. I can tell you that is far under the actual number because our testing is very, very small right now. And we've got one death out of Tulsa, a man in his 50s. We've got a child who has it. And, you can do the extrapolation, but the number of cases in Oklahoma is probably far, far larger than the 44 reported cases.
We're talking to Tom Ivester, Colonel Tom Ivester, member of the Joint Task Force. You're working out of Oklahoma City. Where are you headquartered there?
Yeah, it's a complex just down from the Cowboy Hall of Fame. It's called the Regional Training Institute, and they've set up the multi-agency coordination cell there for all of the state government.
All right, based on what you've seen so far, based on what you know, based on what you can tell us, what are you seeing as you interact with, do you interact with just members of the Oklahoma National Guard, or are you interacting with other agencies?
No, we're interacting with other agencies. So the deal was to get everybody together so we do a coordinated response. So, of course, the State Health Department, the Office of Emergency Management, which has the lead. The governor actually, the governor's mansion is being renovated, so he lives in a house right next door to where this is. So he pops in a couple of times a day, trying to make sure Oklahoma is responding properly.
We're talking to Tom Ivester, a member of the Joint Task Force. Mm-hmm. He's in Oklahoma City. Well, he's headquartered in Oklahoma City. He's in the metropolitan area. When were you called up?
I got the call Wednesday evening.
How long have you been in the metropolitan area?
I came up here yesterday and got to work. So it's been interesting, but I can tell you, people need to, you don't plan for the worst case scenario. You know what the worst case scenario could probably be, but you plan for the most probable, but you have contingency plans. The military is very good at planning. That's kind of what we bring to the table. The stovepipe, the real problems is, first of all, we don't have enough testing, and we don't even know when we're going to get testing kits. So if you think you got COVID out there, you're not going to get tested in Oklahoma, at least not in the next 2 or 3 days. If we wanted to set up mobile testing, we're probably at least a week away from that. So if you think you have it, you got to self-quarantine. The real issues come in is if we have a lot of people that have to go to the hospital, the 5% of the critical patients, and the problem at the hospitals, I can tell you from this perspective, is we don't have enough personal protective gear for the medical staff, and we don't have enough ventilators in case we need them. And so only the most severe patients go on ventilators. If we have a worst-case scenario, we're going to be short these supplies. Now, I don't think we're going to have a worst-case scenario, but, again, we're paid to plan possibly for that. So the critical thing to prevent that is to prevent people from getting it in the first place, and it's called social distancing, not gathering in groups. People need to take this a lot more seriously. There's no get the meat today and the buns tomorrow and then pop in. Don't do it. Stay away. You know, patronize your restaurants by takeout. I'm not saying stop business, but I'm saying just social distancing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Are you, in your interaction so far with members of the health department and health officials, what are they saying about readiness? What are they saying about the spread? What are they saying about Oklahoma's healthcare system? That's what I'm wanting to know most about is the healthcare folks.
We've got a lot of work to do in a very short amount of time. Ideally, we would be set up to do mobile testing. So we would know who's got it, and then we can isolate those people. We're fighting blind right now. Oklahoma, right now, as of yesterday, only has 100 test kits available throughout the state. And from the testing numbers, we've only tested around 500 so far. Well, if we've only tested 500 and we have 44 positive cases and one death, you can do the math. Now, you can say, well, statistically, we've only tested probably those who are most probable to have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the positive rate is probably higher. But I just talked to a friend yesterday or last evening. He was exposed. He was around somebody who tested positive for COVID-19, and he has no ability to go get a test. None. And he's in the healthcare industry. And so his doctor friends just say, hey, stay at home. If you start getting severe, that's when you call us back. So telemedicine, call your doctors. I know some healthcare professionals are fairly frustrated, but we'll get there. By this time next week, Oklahoma will be fully ramped up. Hopefully we'll get there before then to be able to do some testing and be able to get some proper medical supplies.
Tom, how long do you expect to be in the metro area there on duty?
Until the crisis is over. My family asked me. I'm up here at least through the end of the month, and as long as the crisis lasts. Whatever it takes, we're on it. And I guess I want to say, people, don't panic, but take precautions, because it's like there's a dichotomy. Some people are freaking out and hoarding, and some people are acting like there ain't nothing going on.
So you'd say the best response is somewhere in between, right?
So, yes, if you kind of think you're overreacting, you're probably right where you need to be. Practice social distancing. Make a plan for your workplace if you got to lock the doors. And just be aware of what's going on.
We're talking to Tom Ivester, Colonel in the Oklahoma National Guard. He's been called to active duty here in the state, part of the Joint Task Force called by Governor Stitt out of a desire to get Oklahoma ready and prepare them for the coronavirus getting worse in the state. So you really think a week from now, as far as preparedness, the state will be in much better shape?
Yeah, much better shape. And like I said, we hope to probably have some mobile testing sites. We probably hope to have test kits. Like I said, the testing is woefully inadequate. Personal protective gear, woefully lacking. If we have a really bad hit, I guess you could say we're a flyover state, and maybe hopefully that will help us. We don't have cluster outbreaks, but since we've only tested about 544 positive with one death, that doesn't look good statistically.
Tom, why don't we have more testing available? I keep hearing how the government's providing tests and private businesses are providing tests. So why is it the state of Oklahoma has so few tests?
So, first of all, Oklahoma's not a priority. We don't have large identified cluster outbreaks. But you could, it's easy to argue. The counter argument is we don't have it because we haven't tested it. Africa doesn't either, but they haven't tested over there. So, and then it's the components of the test kit, specifically in Oklahoma, the reagent to actually conduct the test, we're short of. We hope to get those soon, but we don't, we do not have good answers. It's not like, oh, yeah, we'll have them there by FedEx Monday, 5,000 test kits. No, it's like, well, we don't know. And we're talking from the federal government. Yes, we're going to get you more. We don't know when, and we don't know how many.
Where do the test kits come from?
From a military standpoint, you're like, wrong answer. They're coming from everywhere now. It's not like one single point source, because they've ramped up a lot of these private companies are making them, and there are different types of tests. So some of the tests Oklahoma does have are not adequate as far as accuracy. of what you'd want. They're better than nothing. So we're struggling along with the rest of the country to get a handle on the test kits.
Are we getting them for free?
Well, we've got the pay people in there because, you know, you've always got the smart aleck that goes, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? Well, in an emergency situation, that's the last thing you really want to worry about. And so you want to marginalize the finance people because number one is the health of your citizens, and that's what we're focused on. I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that's not preventing us from getting any test kits.
Okay.
All right, Colonel Tom Ivester, part of the Oklahoma Joint Task Force Preparedness and Readiness. Tom, good luck in your service up there, and get back to us as soon as you can, okay?
Okay, we'll be in touch.
Bye, Tom.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
I'm guessing Tom won't